Thank you, worship team. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. We'll continue in our series on the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, a series entitled Written in Stone. And today we are on the third commandment. And so the title of our message this morning is Something About That Name. So the first commandment, we titled that sermon, An Audience of One. We talked about how there's only one true and living God, and we shall have no other gods, false gods before Him. And last week we talked about American idols, and really talked about how to worship properly and to worship Him alone. And so today we continue with the third commandment, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. The Bible says, You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together. We humble ourselves before you, asking for an abundant amount of mercy and grace and strength for this hour. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your heart, through your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, for us, a name is a label. It's something that we have. Actually, it's something that's been given to us. A name is something that we have. It's not something that we are. But that's different when you look back to the Hebrew culture. Names were used to identify the person's character. It spoke directly to who the person was. A name referred to who a person was, to their character, to their personality, sometimes to their occupation, to their strengths, to their weakness. The name actually said a lot about the person. Now, that's much different in our culture today. Now, maybe you were given your name because it meant something specific. I know most of your names in here, and I have no idea what your name means. But I know who you are, right? Let's use my name for an example. My name is Lee. Does anybody know what that means? I didn't think so. I didn't either until I looked it up, right? That's how we use names. We use names as labels. But the name Lee literally means dweller of the wood or dweller by the wood or clearing. Does that mean anything to you? Dweller by the wood or by the clearing. Now, I haven't asked them, but I'm pretty sure my mom and dad didn't know that that's what it meant either. I'm pretty sure that they didn't have any idea that one day I would grow up and be something like a dweller by the wood. Right? So names are used differently today in our culture than they were then in the Hebrew culture. So when we read the name Lord in all caps in our Bible, it is the word Yahweh, and it is the personal name for God. And it's much more than a label. It's an identification. It was synonymous with His presence. So when we talk about the name of the Lord, we're talking about His presence. We're talking about Him. We're talking about His being. We're talking about His essence. Listen to what God said about Himself when He was asked what His name was. You may remember this. In the Old Testament, Moses is roaming around in the wilderness, and he comes upon a burning bush. And at the burning bush, he's told to take his shoes off because the ground that he's standing on is holy ground. And this is where God speaks with Moses and tells Moses to go to Israel to confront Pharaoh on behalf of his people. And so when he tells Moses what to do, Moses says, he asked the question, Who should I say sent me? Who is this that is sending me? And so the Bible says in Exodus 3 and verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now, you may have never thought about it like this, but God named himself. There's no greater authority than God. Man did not name God. Man did not identify God. God identifies himself. God named himself not so the children of Israel would have a label for him. He identified himself not so that they would know something about him. He identified himself so they would know him. It's personal. God says, this is who I am, and this is who is sending you. His name is Yahweh, and that is who he is. Now, the Hebrew children would have understood clearly what this meant. Moses was to tell them, I am has sent me. The phrase I am refers to the self-existence of God, the eternality of God. They would have understood this was the self-existing, self-sufficient, eternal God and Redeemer. So, let me just back up for a moment, remind you of the title of our message. There's something about that name. And that's what we're going to learn here in this commandment, right? In the third commandment. There's something about this name. The name Yahweh, Lord. Now, you can read through the Bible and you can see how others knew that as well. The psalmist, in his writing, it's all over the Psalms. But just a few examples. The psalmist knew there was something about that name. And in Psalm 8:1, he says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. In Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. This is why when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he said, pray in this way, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then ultimately, as we read in the New Testament, it is by this name that we are saved. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In certain contexts in the Scripture, the word name is used synonymously with the word Yahweh, which means they're the same. They're interchangeable in some context. This means however you treat the name, you treat the person. See where I'm going with this? This means whatever you say about the name, you say about the person. However you treat the name, you treat the person. And the third commandment tells us not to use the name in vain. Not to misuse the name of God. Or not to use the name of God falsely is what this means. Now, when we think of using the Lord's name in vain, we usually think of cursing. That's the first thing that comes to mind. We usually think about using it in a harsh way with our words and maybe following it with a curse word. That's the first thing that we think of. A closer look at the Scripture will reveal to us that there's much more to it than that. Now, be sure, Jesus Christ is not a curse word. Neither is the word God or Lord. We're sure of that, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But you've got to know this morning, and we've got to know this morning, there's more to it than just what we speak. And so that's what I want to spend the rest of our time on this morning. Three things I want you to know. First of all, we misuse the name of God. We take the Lord's name in vain. We misuse the name of God when we misrepresent Him. When we misrepresent Him. Now, if we don't study the meaning of these words in context closely, we miss out on some important details. Because the words in this third commandment are associated with the idea of oath-taking. Of taking an oath or making a promise, which was something that was very common in those days. It was even common among the pagan cultures for them to take an oath in the name of their god, whatever that God might have been. A more literal translation of this commandment could read like this: you shall not lift up. That's what the original means. You shall not lift up the name of the Lord your God for nothingness. Now think about that for a moment. You shall not lift up the name of the Lord your God for nothingness, in vain. So raising the name, or lifting up the name, is something that is that accompanied the swearing of an oath. This may sound familiar to you, right? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me. We're familiar with that, right? That's lifting up the name based on a promise that is being made. Invoking the name of God with the promise to tell the truth seemingly adds more weight to the promise. However, what happens when the person lies? We don't take it very seriously, I don't think, or maybe we do, or maybe some do. But what happens when somebody says, I swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God, and they lie? They make God out to be a liar. That's what they do. They misrepresent God. Jesus said, I am the truth. And so it is an association of God with a lie. And that's a misrepresentation of God. It's one of the ways we take the Lord's name in vain. In other settings, it may sound something like this: I swear to God. It may sound like this: I promise to God. Do you know what the implication of that is, really? If you really think about what you're saying, the implication is that there may be a lot of other times when I'm not truthful, but right now, that's kind of, we don't realize what we're saying sometimes. I'm thinking that says something more about us, right? We take the name of the Lord in vain when we swear to God, or we promise to God, and we lie. You know, James, the Apostle James, echoes what Jesus said about this in the Gospel of Matthew. In James chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." You know what's being said there? If you're His, you should be truthful. You don't have to promise. You don't have to use those words. You don't have to swear an oath or make a promise. As a believer, your character should be that of honesty and integrity. And so there's no reason for us to... And he even goes on to say, don't swear by heaven or by earth. You know what the Pharisees were doing? They were trying to get out of swearing by God's name. And so they started swearing by things in heaven and swearing by things on the earth. And guess who created all of that? So the apostles say, doesn't cut it. It doesn't work. But we also misrepresent him when we accuse him of things that are false. We accuse him of things that are false. Well, we wouldn't be belligerent about this, most of us. We wouldn't intentionally do that. But one of the ways this happens is with our life plans or with our agendas. We say, God told me to. Or God said. Now let me just help you this morning. You better be absolutely certain that God said it. Because when you accuse him of saying something that he didn't say, you're taking his name in vain. You say, well, God told me to tell you. Oh, yeah? This is somehow we put a stamp of approval on it. But the truth of the matter is, we are led by the Lord. We are impressed by the Holy Spirit in us to make decisions, to move to and fro on the earth. But we've got to be careful with saying something and tagging God's name onto it, because we are treating Him with disrespect. We are misrepresenting Him. Anytime we lift up the name falsely, we use His name in vain. However, we do not have to actually speak the name to misrepresent Him falsely, because we are His. I mentioned this earlier. We belong to Him, and because of that, we represent Him on the earth. You know, the Bible tells us that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." We are His. We belong to Him. The New Testament also calls us ambassadors of Christ. What's an ambassador? A representative. And so we don't actually have to speak wrongly to misrepresent the name of the Lord. We bear the family name, Christ, Christian. We bear the family name, and therefore we bear the image and the responsibility of presenting Him accurately to the world around us. Man, that's just the first thing, right? A little more than what we might have thought about taking the Lord's name in vain. Secondly, we misuse the name of God when we try to manipulate Him. Oh, we'd never do that, right? We'd never try to manipulate God. Well, the pagan cultures surrounding Israel in that day would practice, including the Egyptians, right? The ones from whom they had just escaped. The pagan cultures in those days would use magic to try and manipulate their gods and get their gods to work on their behalf. One author identifies this as magic as the means for attempting to bring the sovereign will of God under human control, controlling God, and using it for egotistical purposes. It was an attempt to use God's name or their God's names for selfish gain or selfish benefit. And it was sort of akin to a good luck charm. Good luck charm. Coming out of Egypt, this type of manipulation remained a very real temptation to the children of Israel. We read in the New Testament how the Lord's name was misused in this way. And so it shouldn't be really a foreign concept to us. You may remember in Acts chapter 19, there's a story about the seven sons of Sceva. They were sorcerers. And they were around while Paul was coming through town, and Paul had cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Well, they saw that and they heard that. And so they had been doing some tricks of their own, and they really wanted to be elevated to that level. And so they decided they would do what Paul did. And they attempted to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And so when they go to this man who's full of demons and they say, "Come out in the name of Jesus," the demons turn around and speak to them. And this is all recorded in Acts chapter 19. And they say, "Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, but who are you?" And the Bible says the demons came out of that man and they leapt onto those seven sons of Sceva and they beat them and stripped them naked and ran them out of town. Here's what happened. The seven sons of Sceva realized there was something powerful about that name. They'd seen it work. And they thought they would use it for their own benefit. But it didn't turn out too well. They got the beating of a lifetime. Now, I would say that trying to manipulate God by using his name in certain ways is still a very real temptation for us today. It's still something that we may do in subtle ways. For instance, sometimes we like to wear a cross around our neck. The cross is symbolic. It means something to us, right? As believers, it symbolizes the death of Christ, and that's okay, but it's not a good luck charm. You ever notice the baseball player get up to bat and take that cross and kiss it? Well, I mean, I understand there's affection there, but then he hits a home run, and guess what he does next time? Why? Because somehow Jesus has come alongside me and I'm hitting home runs. Might that be taking the Lord's name in vain? Trying to manipulate him. Trying to bring him under our own control, under our own power and authority. How about the way we use Jesus' name? Now, this is interesting because we're taught in the Bible to pray in Jesus' name, right? The Bible says in John 14, verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, by the way, the word name is used all the way through the Old Testament and all the way through the New Testament. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, a misinterpretation of that passage would cause us to tag Jesus' name onto everything we say. That means for us to pray in the authority of Jesus. It means for us to pray according to his will. And there is power in his name. But it does not mean to tag his name onto whatever it is we're praying that will benefit us. It's not an attempt for us to use his name for us to gain. And so we have to be careful how we use his name and not to use it in vain by trying to manipulate God. So it doesn't behoove us necessarily when we are praying to constantly repeat the name of Jesus or to do it in what the Bible calls vain repetition. Vain repetition. And so we've got to be careful. The third thing I want you to notice is we misuse the name of God when we misspeak about him. When we misspeak about him. In a general or more comprehensive sense, this commandment deals with using the Lord's name carelessly. Carelessly. It involves everything from speaking his name inappropriately when we're angry, when we're disappointed, when we are surprised, maybe when we're overwhelmed and excited, to speaking it thoughtlessly. Because the name represents the person, we need not be careless with it or thoughtless about how we use the name. Let me tell you where that we might get in more trouble with this than in other places. You won't believe it, but it's right here. On Sunday mornings, when we sing thoughtlessly, we just go through the motions. When we pray because we're supposed to, and somebody hears what we say, but we're not really thinking much about it. That's thoughtlessly. It's thoughtlessly using his name. We can be very careless with the name of God, even in our worship services. So we must take great care when we prepare sermons about his name. When we preach sermons about his name. We sing songs about his name. We pray in his name. We gather in his name. We don't need to be thoughtless or frivolous or careless, lest we take the name of the Lord in vain. What about our everyday speech? Is it okay for us to be careless with how we throw around the name? The name that is above every name, the name of the God of the universe who saved us. So we have phrases, right, that we're all familiar with. Oh my God. Oh Lord. Lord, have mercy. If we're texting, it's OMG, right? We've even taken it to that level. Jeez, that's short for Jesus. Jesus Christ, right? I mean, those are part of everyday speech. And I'm thinking that when those are used, we're not thinking about the one who is wonderful and glorious and holy and righteous when we say, oh my Lord. That's not what we're saying. In fact, there's a song called Lord, You Are Holy. And it kind of goes through some descriptive words. Now, think about those everyday common slangs that we use and how that's probably pretty careless and thoughtless on our part. And how that compares to what this song says about Him. Wonderful, glorious, holy, and righteous, victorious, conqueror, triumphant, and mighty, healer, deliverer, shield, and defense. I'm not sure that's what people are thinking when they say Jesus Christ. Strong tower and my best friend. Omnipotent, omnipresent, soon coming King, Alpha and Omega, Lord of everything, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. That's why He said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. There's more to it than what we think as we begin to study these words. God is holy. And God is righteous. And He deserves to be honored. His name deserves to be praised and lifted up. We are to treat His name with honor because we are treating Him in the same way. We are to treat Him with great reverence and respect. His name is sacred and His name is wonderful. And should be revered above all others. By not taking the Lord's name in vain, here's what we do. We honor Him. We give Him the rightful place of honor. We don't talk about Him like that. We don't try to manipulate Him. We don't use those names in those ways because that's not who He is. He's God. The God of the universe. The third commandment protects His honor. It protects His reputation among the nations. And it really is about making His name great, making His name famous. And here's what we'll close with this. Here's what the Bible says in Philippians is going to happen in the last days. You've read this before. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him. And given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. One day, everyone is going to bow. Everyone who is a part of all the world religions will bow at the name of Jesus. Everyone who is saved and everyone who is lost will bow at the name of Jesus. So it does us good as we study the Ten Commandments and especially the Third Commandment to be reminded that there's something about that name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for reminding us today of who You are, how great and wonderful and mighty, how loving and merciful and kind You are, and that when we speak Your name, we speak of You. And so, Lord, help us not to do so carelessly. Help us not to do so thoughtlessly. Help us to remember that we represent You, Lord, with what we say and how we live our lives. Give us strength and courage to lift your name up, to raise your name up, Lord, among all of the people, so that they may know who you are and what you can do for them. And that you are, oh God, you are more than a curse word. You are more than a slang phrase for us. You are our personal God who loves us and saved us. And may we treat you that way, in the way that we speak and in the way that we live our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.